Man, I'll tell you, these testimonies are going really amazing. First, we get to see Bruce with hair, and we get to see Chris without hair. Isn't it amazing, you know? And and it's pretty cool how God is doing it. And I'm so thankful for Chris and all of these guys, Donna, Bruce, Jason, that's given their testimonies, and more are coming throughout the campaign. And you know, it's really amazing. We're in a study, a church-wide study right now of what it means to be a church member. And we're learning that it's not about country club stuff or you get your ticket punched and you're this or that. It's not like that at all. Biblical church membership is so different. It's about being connected to the body of Christ and being connected to God and serving and connected to each other. And we're learning that about what biblical church membership is really about. And we've discovered that the builder generation, two-thirds of that generation, knew the Lord, but those that are millennials born from 1980 to 2000, only 15% of that entire generation knows Jesus. So if you are in your 30s today, you are a rarity if you know Christ when compared to the rest of the nation. It may not seem like that here in the United States, but it's here right in Kentucky, but it's like that in the U.S. And really, if we don't grasp and really understand what it means that church is all about and what Jesus is all about, man, we're in trouble. And some of you guys today are asking that question. Somebody brought you here. Somebody got you here. They coerced you here. They bribed you here with lunch, whatever it was. And you're here today and you're asking that question, does church matter? I mean, does it really matter if I'm connected to a local body of believers? Can I just sit at home and watch TV, watch the Christian channel or Christian radio? Or do I really need a community of believers? And what we're discovering is that yes, you do. When church is done right, when church is done the way the Bible is, that it's not this country club mentality. And we've discovered so far that we need to be a unified church, a connected church. We need to understand that it's about Jesus and about being involved and part of each other. And we know the entryway into the church is not through a class, it's not through this, but it's through knowing Jesus Christ personally in a saving relationship through his cross, burial, and through his burial, cross, burial, and resurrection, and believing in Jesus Christ. But when we're saved, he then puts us into a family to exercise our spiritual gifts and in community with each other and to make a difference in the world. Our little mission statement at Life Community is to be a connecting, caring, changing church. We want to connect people to Jesus and to each other. Then we want to care for people, and then we want to change the world around us. One of the things that will stop us from being a biblical church, one of the things that will put us into a country club mentality instead of a biblical church mentality is when we stop being servants in the church. When we stop having a servant's heart and a servant's mentality in our body, we will cease to be a biblical church. We will act more like a country club, more like just some sort of civic organization rather than a church if we lose a heart for service. Some of you all that are new to Life Community may not know this, but let me just give you a little bit of background of what it's like at Life Community. We have people that get up and going every Sunday morning very early. The trailer's been hitched about 7:30. They get here, they unlock the doors, all the curtains have to be set up, even the crosses brought in, the PA systems, all the little ink pens are in tubs, the little tables in a tub, all the kids' stuff is in tubs, the mats for the nursery, which makes it look like a warm, welcoming environment, is stacked up, and we get them out, and we clean them, and we put them all together every Sunday. And then when it's over, guess what? Back in the box. Every Sunday. And, you know, I'm asked this all the time, does it wear your people out? And I guess you should really ask them, but what I see is laughter, and I see a good time, and I see people that are excited to be here. I see people that enjoy making a cup of coffee for somebody. I see people that enjoy standing out there and welcoming people and greeting them, and I see a servant's heart and a servant's mentality every Sunday morning at this church. And can I say this? Let's keep that. Let's keep that. Let's not stop. Let's not stop. And somebody would say, oh, it'll be so great when we get a building because we won't have to set up and tear down. And yeah, it'll be great when God gives us one. But listen, it's still pretty cool what happens right now. It's still pretty cool what God is doing right now. Don't miss the here and now for what's coming tomorrow and for what God has for us. I want to read us a passage. If you got your notes, take your notes out this morning as we read those. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from the Bible. We'll have it on the screen all over the Bible today. But the Bible says this, Paul says this, and this is in the famous love chapter. And if you've been in the life groups, involved in the life groups, you've learned that 1 Corinthians 13 is connected to 1 Corinthians 12. It's all about being part of the church family. So the love chapter is in context of being part of the church family. And look what Paul says. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. Let's read that last part together. When I became a man, say it together with me, church, I put aside childish things. Father, may you bless your word. And God, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's the truth. And God, today may it lead us and guide us. And Father, may it do a work in somebody's life. Teach us what it's like to be a servant. We pray in the name of Jesus. Help me to preach. I pray in your name. Amen. Paul says that when we mature as Christians, we gotta stop acting like babies. Now, this is so hard for you to comprehend. It's so hard for us to understand why people that love Jesus and believe in Jesus and have faith in Jesus still act like little kids. It is hard for us to comprehend that. It is hard for us to even conceive that a Christian can act like a baby. But I'm going to help us understand this today. I want you to use your imagination with me, if you will. I have two chairs today. But these are not your average two chairs. You know what this is? This is the back seat of your car with two children on the way to Florida this morning. Now, Sam, I need you to turn on one of these mics, if you would, okay? Now, listen, one of our things, we took our kids to Myrtle Beach, and Hope is little, so the other one talked to us on the way up there, if you know what I mean. She talked to us on the way up there, and we learned a few things. Think about what little kids do when they're in the car with each other. You know, they'll say, what? Don't you cross my line. Don't you come over this invisible line. And what happens? What happens when one kid crosses the line? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. This is what happens. Amen. Right? So we say, don't cross my line. Amen. And they'll start pushing each other and shoving each other. You cross my line. Don't you? And then what happens? You ready? You ready? Then we don't like the music that's being played. Hey, mama, daddy, I know we've listened to Let It Go 100 times, but we need to keep listening to it. Amen? Crank that up, Sam. We need to hear this. Amen? There we go. Oh, that helps, doesn't it? There we go. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah. And then what happens? We want to stop and eat somewhere. Mom, Dad, can we go to McDonald's? No, it's disgusting. We're not going to eat there. Yeah, amen. And we know what it's like to be selfish. Now, let me share something with you. We sat in our car. And we hear the whining, and we hear the crying. But really, it's not too different than the church. Don't cross into my space. This is my ministry. This is my area. This is my classroom. This is my tub at Life Community, right? And if you cross over into my tub, I'm going to cry about it, amen? I'm going to cry about it. Hey, I don't like the music. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's to this. It's to that. Can't we sing older songs? Can't we sing this song? Hey, can't we do this? And we do what? Oh, Kenny, why do you got to preach this? Why do you got to preach that? Just give us a break on the preaching. And when we don't get our way, you know what we do next, don't we? We kick the back of the seat. We kick the preacher. We kick the deacons. We kick the life group leaders. We kick our people in front of us. We do what? We... Now that everybody's offended, you can all go home. Amen. All right, I love you too, okay? But we have a tendency in our churches to act like cry babies. Every church I've ever been in, including ones in revivals, including ones that I've traveled to, there is a tendency, there is a natural tendency for us to cry about the stupidest stuff. Now listen, I love you. But as part of a pastor is to preach the Word of God. Amen. We're going to talk about growing up this morning. Y'all ready for that? We're going to talk about growing up this morning and what it means to grow up. Hey, how does a child act? Are you ready? Here, throw it on the screen there, Tanner. How does a child act? You ready? Selfishly. A child acts selfishly. If you really, and you can't blame them. They're small, they're little, they don't know, they lack the maturity, they act selfishly. And what does a child do if they don't get their way? They whine. They cry. That's what they do. If a child doesn't get their way, they cry about it. They pout about it. They throw fits. And I've even seen this happen. They'll isolate themselves. I don't want to talk to you. Don't talk to me. Leave me alone. I hate you. You ever heard that said to you by a little kid before? Stinks, doesn't it? I love this one. You're the worst daddy ever. Love you too, little one. Love you too. I know. You know too. Here's what I'm saying. That we as church members, as Christians, we too have a tendency to cry. We have a tendency to be selfish. And that will rob us. Listen, that will rob us from being a servant church. It'll rob us from acting like Jesus when we cry and pout and stick our lips out. I didn't get my way. It'll stop you from being what God wants you to be. So here's the deal. A Christian and a church member must stop being selfish and start being a servant. Amen, church. We got to stop the selfishness, and we got to learn how to be servants. Now, I know that our church is only 2 years old, and what's really cool, and at the end of the campaign, we're going to celebrate with a two-year anniversary. Isn't that awesome, you know? Celebrate that. We did our one-year anniversary last year. We're going to do another two-year anniversary, and then we're going to end the campaign that way. It'd be awesome. So it's natural, right, for us to be 2 years old and to act like 2 years old. All right, we can't act like we're 30, we're 2 years old. But we can't stay at 2 years old. We can't stay there. That's not natural. It's not growth. It's not what God wants us to be. So we need today a servant's heart. I read this in a commentary on the book of Philippians this week, and I thought it was so good. I posted on Facebook last night. It says this, the most effective way to achieve unity, listen, is not to demand that everyone agrees with you, but to look out for the interest of others. Now, and listen to this. And refuse to claim for yourself the privileges that belong to you. Refusing to claim for yourself the privileges that belong to you. Boy, that's a big word. It's stepping aside. So let's look real quick. What does a real servant look like today? If we are going to be a church member that serves, What does that look like? First, I want you to see this. A servant serves all. They serve all. Jesus said this to his disciples. Sitting down, he called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he's got to be last of all and servant of all. The disciples got into an argument. I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. No, I'm going to be the greatest. I want to be the greatest. I want to do this. I want to do that. And Jesus called them together and said, guys, you've missed it. You don't argue about who's going to be the greatest. The Father picks that out. And then he takes this little kid and he sets this little kid right in front of him. And he says, guys, if you really want to know what it's like to be great, take a lesson from this little one. You've got to be last to be first. You've got to serve everybody, all people. Understand that if we're really, truly going to be a serving church, we cannot be tempted by titles. We cannot be tempted to label ourselves as the director of a ministry or the deacon of the church or even a dictator of Life Community Church. You can't do that. It's not about being directors, deacons, or dictators. No, sir. It's about being last place. And it's about serving whoever walks through those doors. That's it. That's it. It's about serving people and loving people. That's what it's about. In my first church, there was a guy named Tom. I loved Tom. Tom was probably my best friend at that church. And old enough to be my father, but he was just a great man of God. And Tom had experienced some things in his life, and he wasn't able to be a deacon. And I talked to Tom. I said, Tom, does it bother you that you can't, be a deacon? I said, maybe the church would even ordain you probably. And I loved what Tom said. He said, Kenny, I don't want to be a deacon. I don't have to have a title to serve. Boy, it just made me want them more, you know. He said, I don't have to have a title to serve. Boy, I love that, don't you? I love old Tom. I got to call him. Makes me think of him. Look around real quick. Just look at people this morning. You are called today to serve the people you see. I had a typo on my notes. I told this to Taryn. And instead of it saying you're called, I was going to do this, have everybody look at each other. I accidentally typed you're called to sever everybody that you see. And so don't do that, okay? Your goal is not to slice somebody up in here, all right? But it's to serve. It's to serve everybody you see. And you think, well, am I really supposed to serve the person across the aisle from me? Absolutely, you are. Am I supposed to serve the person sitting in front of me? Absolutely, you are. That's the kind of church we need to be. If somebody needs something, you help them. Second, a servant steps aside. A servant steps aside. Philippians chapter 2, maybe the greatest chapter on servanthood in the whole Bible. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this. He says, do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as, listen to this part, more important than yourselves. Boy, let's just sign up for that, right? Let's sign up to treat every single person more important than yourself. We love that, don't we? We love it. No, we don't. We hate that. We hate that. What do you mean every person's better than me? You saying you better than me? No, I'm saying you're supposed to treat everybody better than yourself. I didn't say it. Paul said it. And that's tough because we're not wired that way. We're wired selfishly. Me, myself, and I. Not to treat others better than ourselves. And Paul would say that we are not to do things out of rivalry just because we're mad at somebody. Do it cheerfully, thankfully. We do it out of humility because we want to serve. We want to help. So we step aside. And this is difficult because in the church, so often we become tempted by preferences and desires. And in your life groups this week, you're going to talk about that. Preferences and desires. And the reality is many of you all are coming, Some of you all from different church backgrounds where your church did it a certain way. And the reality is Life Community may not do it that way. We might not even do it at all. And that might be hard for you. But we're trying to create an atmosphere and an environment where we are serving more so than getting entitled benefits, an entitled mentality. But we're here today to serve each other and to love each other. A true servant does not sit on the sidelines and say, this is how it ought to be done. Instead, they pick up a box and they load the trailer. Amen? Well, that's hard, ain't it? We step aside of our own preferences and our own desires to do what needs to be done. Tom Rainer, in the book, I'm a Church Member, interesting chapter. They surveyed inward-focused churches, and they found these dominant traits in the inward-focused churches. I love it because it's so true. They found that they argued about music. Their biggest war was about the kind of music they played. They had prolonged nonsense meetings. They would sit in meetings for days and days and days and days and days and get nothing accomplished. By the way, you got a flock of geese. You got a herd of cattle. Do you know what you call a bunch of buzzards circling something that's dead? A committee of buzzards. That's a bad word at Life Community. Committee. Bad word. Don't you say it, all right? So there we go. They had facility-focused, inward-focused churches were more concerned about a building rather than the ministry. We don't have a building yet, but that will be a temptation that will come to us down the road. They were program-driven. Now, that doesn't mean that programs are bad. We have programs right now at our church, but they were all about the next program. They had so many programs going on that nobody could command them. They were all ineffective. But you try to cut one, somebody threw a fit. They had an inwardly focused budget. No room for missions. No room for outreach. Unreasonable pastoral care. I'm a member, and whenever I want the pastor's time, I get it. There's an attitude of entitlement. I'm a member here. You do what I say. There's a greater concern for change rather than the gospel. You can't change it. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way it'll always be. They throw a fit, argue. But when it comes to missions and the Great Commission and outreach, you could really care less. There was anger and hostility in those churches. They were just mad all the time. Every time you saw them, they were mad. Mad all the time. They were just mad. You ever met somebody where they're just mad all the time? They need to change their diet or something. I mean, you know, quit eating bran flakes and eat biscuits and gravy, okay? Come on. Don't be angry all the time. They found that in their churches. They found an evangelistic apathy. They didn't care about reaching people. They didn't care about people getting saved. Inward-focused churches. We as servants can't be that way. We've got to step aside to our preferences and desires and choose to serve people. This is hard, ain't it? This is tough. But in order for us to be a biblical church, we can't wait for people to serve us. We have to serve others. Third, a servant sacrifices their attitude for the attitude of Christ. A servant sacrifices their attitude for the attitude of Christ Jesus. Maybe one of the famous passages of servanthood is from Philippians 2. But look at just verse 5. It says, make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude is supposed to be an attitude of serving, an attitude of loving, an attitude of helping. And when you read further on in Philippians, you read this awesome passage about what it means to be serving, and it uses Jesus as the example. Some quick high notes. It says that he did not consider equality with God something to use for his own advantage. He came to this earth, but yet he didn't go around zapping people and doing what he wanted. He came as a servant. He came as a humble carpenter, not demanding, but to serve. It says he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave on the night the apostles were there with him at the Lord's Supper. He literally put a towel around his waist and he got a basin of water, and Jesus himself washed the disciples' feet, including Peter, who would deny him, including Judas, who would completely betray him. He washed their feet. He served people. You look at Jesus, and it also says that he became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He was in the garden, and he said, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." He sweated drops of blood in the agony. He knew the cross would hurt. He knew the cross would be a suffering time for him. But he knew that we could not be saved unless he died for us on the cross. So he died for us. That if we believe in Jesus, we trade our sinful lives for his sinless life. And it's pretty amazing. See, a servant takes that same attitude that Jesus had. The same attitude. For example, we don't view ourselves as the high and mighty. When Jesus was on this earth, a carpenter, homeless, we can't walk around demanding to be treated like a king or queen. That's not what Jesus does. We take the job and we do the job that no one wants to do. Well, Kenny, I just don't know if I'm called to do that, but here's the deal. You have a primary ministry and you have a secondary ministry. Your primary ministry is where you need to be involved and invested in. Your secondary ministry, you ready for this, is to do whatever needs to be done. If it needs to be done, guess what? You do it. Hey, you know what? This isn't our place. We borrow this place. If there's trash on the ground, we don't wait for the custodian to pick it up. You know what we do? We pick it up. Amen. Listen, if you're waiting for permission to load the trailer, permission granted, all of you. Hallelujah, Chris, right? We serve. Listen, Jesus was obedient to the point of death. He cost his life. Are you sacrificial in your servanthood? Are you sacrificial, hear me, with your time, with your energy, with your money? Are you tithing? Are you volunteering? Are you leading others to Jesus? Kenny, all that's hard for me. I understand. But this is the attitude of Jesus. This is the attitude of Christ. To serve and love. Amen? This is the attitude of Christ. And this is what we must do. So we are left with a major decision at the end of this sermon. And that decision is this. I hope you'll choose it. I hope you'll say, I will not let my church be about my preferences and desires, but will choose to serve. I won't let it be about what I want, but I'll serve God. So here's what we need to do. Are you ready? We need today to trade the cry for the cross. We need to trade the cry for the cross. Are you willing today to trade the cry for the cross? Would you bow your heads with me, and as our praise band begins to come, and maybe today you did not know that Jesus Christ has loved you with a relentless love, that he wants to save you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Jesus loves you very, very much. Loves you so much. Today, if you know that you're a sinner and you believe that Christ died and rose from the grave and you confess him into your life, he'll save you. He's waiting for you today to open up your heart and to welcome him in. It's a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. Maybe you need to pray that today, right where you are, because he came to serve you through the cross so you could be saved. Maybe today you're a Christian and you feel selfishness creeping up and you just know that's not what you're supposed to be as a Christian. Would you just pray right there to yourself and say, God, help me not to be selfish. Help me to be a servant. Will you just pray that in your own words right now? Don't let me be selfish. Let me be a servant. Let me serve whoever walks through those doors. Let me step aside for Jesus. Let me take the attitude of Christ. Father, today there are people here with needs, and I pray you'll meet them. You'll speak into their hearts, God. And Father, today help us to be a sacrificial church that loves this community, that loves Owensboro, that loves the people of Owensboro, and that we declare the gospel of Jesus to this city. Lord, today if someone needs to come forward and profess their faith, I pray you'll give them the courage, the strength to come. I pray, God, that you create within all of us servant hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we sing and respond today. You come and do what the Lord calls you to do.